Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Embedded in the critically acclaimed fantasy novel about death and life, What You Should Have Learned on Earth by Martin Finkelstein, are many important life lessons for successful and satisfying living. The novel begins after the demise of Caleb Peterson. While alive, Caleb had been a staunch white supremacist. After his passing, his tortured soul undertakes an odyssey to learn what the living Caleb should have learned on Earth. His soul seeks atonement and forgiveness for Caleb's prior violent behavior. In a series of adventures, his soul grows in understanding, tolerance, and respect for others. Martin is a lifelong student of history, life, biology, and people, and an innate teacher and storyteller. A retired board-certified internist and geriatrician, having practiced medicine mostly in New York City for 60 years. Dr. Finkelstein served on the faculty of NYU Medical Center for many years. His previous books, Aging, Healthcare, and You, A Doctor's Personal Prescription for Understanding and Improving Your Healthcare, is a guide for dealing with medical issues commonly encountered by the elderly and their caregivers, and the novel Adam's Creation, Eden at Falls Peak, A Center for Tolerance, Respect, and Understanding, the story of a man combating discrimination and bigotry in a constructive way. Dr. Finkelstein is wife of many years, has 3 children and 8 grandchildren, are all currently living in New York, the metropolitan area. And Dr. Martin Finkelstein, author of What You Should Have Learned on Earth, is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Finkelstein, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
And a pleasure to talk to you, Rick. Thank you.
Such an excellent job with this book, and it impacts on so many different levels. Let's start with the inspiration. Where did the motivation come to write What I Should Have Learned on Earth? Where did this begin for you?
Well, I guess like most Americans, we're disheartened by all the violence we see in the news every day, the hatred, the discrimination, the intolerance. And each of us feels, I think, that we have to do our part. And my part was saying that the current news programs tell us the story, but they don't change people's attitudes. And I felt anything that we could do to change in attitudes, another venue, another way of reaching people, maybe will help sway some people to being a little bit more forgiving, understanding, and tolerant. And that was my motivation.
Well, a job well done, because this book really gets you thinking. The book is What You Should Have Learned on Earth. Martin Finkelstein, that's Finkelstein, is the author. If you're Googling, book available. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. We'll run through that as we go through the conversation. All this, of course, on our website. Was there an intended audience you have in mind? I'm thinking everybody, but maybe you had it a little more targeted than that.
It's really those who are intolerant. I don't know if they'll read it or if they'll appreciate it, but maybe they will, and some may be swayed. Those who are not intolerant will be really enforced in their beliefs of equality and more understanding and tolerance between people.
What message do you hope the readers take away from reading What You Should Have Learned on Earth? When it's over with, what do you hope we learn?
Well, in the novel, in the story, Caleb's soul does speak with a variety of other people, and he learns that these superficial qualities of color and religion are not important to a soul. In a soul, there is no color, and they're all the same. And that's what he learns, that to be more tolerant as he moves in his adventures.
The book is What You Should Have Learned on Earth. Martin Finkelstein is the author, the guest with us on the program today talking about it. Book available wherever books are sold. Send it to Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. I mentioned before the background that you've got, the book on healthcare and aging. I need to get a copy of that myself. And the fiction that you wrote, the novel. Tell me a little bit about those two books and your interest in writing, because it's very widespread, isn't it? Very diverse.
It is. I am a teacher, and my kids and grandchildren always say that I'm doing too much teaching, maybe. I don't know. In the story, in the way of the story, lessons are given. And the way I think about things and what I've been telling patients for all these years. And that is how to live and how to be tolerant. And in the story with the souls, because Caleb's Caleb eventually does meet up with the soul of a black woman who died in Harlem by collateral damage. And the two of them work to help bring her brother and her family out of the mass of the morass of the poverty and the addiction and the violence in Harlem to move on. In the book Adam's Creation, Eden at Fallspeak, it's not a sci-fi, it's more of a novel. People say I'm a lot in it, but it's the story of a young man who is interested in the world, and he's interested in seeing things, and he has this land in Maine, and he decides that what he can do with this land is build a center for tolerance. He teams up with a young black man who's Jewish, and he was Jewish, and the two of them start building the center and bring speakers in, which gives me a venue for addressing intolerance by race, by religion, by all factors, as they teach others to be more tolerant. And in return, they learn themselves and they grow as individuals. That's that book, Adam's Creation. This book, of course, deals it in a different venue, in a sci-fi novel, which is more of a story.
Now, before I go back, I need to ask you about Caleb and how you came up with this character and telling the story through the experiences that Caleb had. You mentioned tolerance. I thought probably naively not that many years ago that maybe we're making some significant progress. I look around me now and I'm not sure we've even held the progress we made over the last decade or so. You see it in New York City. You see it in your business practice in medicine. Have we made any progress?
I don't know. You watch the news as everyone does, and we see that there's still increases in violence. Right now they're talking about the, are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, because I lost your picture. Right now the Homeland Security, the Department of Homeland Security is talking about increasing violence against minorities. And so I don't, you know, it's still very disturbing. Well, I don't think we're making much progress.
It is. And we could do a whole program, a long program on that topic. But we're focused today on Martin Finkelstein and his book, What You Should Have Learned on Earth. This is the latest book. And it's interesting because you tell this story through Caleb. If you were just to write a book about tolerance and where your life is going and regrets later in life, it wouldn't resonate like this does, because this is a person that we can understand, Caleb. Talk about the format you chose to get this message across in What You Should Have Learned on Earth.
Okay. I'm not sure how other authors write, but as I started writing it, I just felt that begin with a white supremacist who believes that he and everyone around him are the model, and they don't want others to come or replace them or do that. So I started with that premise, and then it just developed. It turns out, of course, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but it turns out he is sort of in a purgatory. He doesn't really know where he is, but as he goes through his adventures, he learns more and more about what is important in life or, you know, in purgatory. So that, for example, animals don't die when you shoot them. They just fall down. It's target practice. And he has an argument with others. Well, I enjoy the kill. And he learns that it's not necessarily killing a beautiful animal that gives you pleasure. It's also just seeing the animal. I mean, there are a lot of little stories and vignettes that I put in the book.
And that makes it so effective. And as you're reading, I mean, your mind goes to, okay, what is Caleb going through? Where am I in my life? Are there any circumstances? Where would I be in that situation if I went back and tried to relive some of these moments? What attributes do you have that allow you to write a novel like this? I talked about the medical practice of living in New York City, being a teacher. I assume all of those come into play as you're writing a book about, for example, this one, What You Should Have Learned on Earth.
Well, one of the advantages of aging, because I'm also a geriatrician, is that you've experienced a lot. You've met a lot of people, you've talked to a lot of people, and doctors, of course, are very personal with patients. You learn their story, you learn who they are. And so you get a lot of just basic human understanding. And in New York and where I've been in Texas, I've been in California, but you see a lot of different people. and you learn how you learn what's motivating them, and you try to advise them, you try to help them with their disease and with their life.
You know, it's interesting. How important is that to be a good doctor, to be a good listener? And I read all the time that from a patient standpoint, make sure the doctor is listening. He's probably on a tight schedule, but make sure he listens. How important is that? What kind of skill is that for a doctor to be able to listen to what the patient says?
Well, it's funny because I'm writing another book about the change in medicine. But when I started medicine 60 years ago, and my father was a physician, the motto was, the secret for caring for patients is to begin by caring for patients. And that in order to treat a patient, you're treating a person, you're treating a family, you're not treating a disease, you're not treating a complaint. And that's what's happened. The doctor-patient relationship has been eroded in modern times because of corporatizing and regulating medical care into an industry.
Is there too much time in medicine being a businessman where you're on the clock, you've got this, there are forms to fill out for insurance, for government, all of this, too much business?
Absolutely. That's what I talk about. When medical students, and I interviewed medical students who wanted to go to medical school, they came in with thoughts of, I want to help people. I want to take care of people. I want to do things. No one ever says, I want to fill out forms. I want to have to sign documents. I want to make sure that I attest to all that I've done on paper and all the computer work. That's not why people went into medicine.
With us on the program is Martin Finkelstein, Finkelstein. This book is What You Should Have Learned on Earth. What are some of the social issues? You touched on those, but let's go back and talk about these again. The social issues that you address in this book.
The issues, he learns what it is to be tolerant. And that's the first half of the book. Later in the book, he meets up with this, I said, the soul of a young black woman. And the two of them try to influence behaviors of people on Earth, living people. And the problems they come across are individuals who are struggling with their identity, identity. They deal with families and the violence in Harlem, which is what killed the woman Phyllis, and which is damaging or threatening her brother and sister, the drug addiction. And they deal with these in a constructive way. They deal with violence, other people who are rioting, racism. And they try to influence, what are you doing? You're damaging your soul. And your soul is going to be around for eternity. And this is the time to change it. You're throwing away your life and you're not even happy with it.
Do the protagonist in the novel, do they resolve any conflicts as they're going through this?
Yes. And they realize also their limitations. And but they seek help from other souls to help them instruct and teach people who are on Earth.
Is there a happy ending? I don't want you to give away too much here, but are we going to end with a smile?
It's a satisfying ending, and it's a happy ending. And I always end with a happy ending. I'm not always an optimist. I'm always, you know, more on that side of look at life as a glass full of, not a glass empty.
You know, I mentioned you, as you're reading it, your retrospective, you're thinking what you would do on trying to understand the world that Caleb came from. What do you hope the reader will learn from reading this book?
Learn that they're not happy in that life. One of the reasons for the violence, one of the reasons for the racism, one of the reasons for the bigotry is they're trying to blame others for their mistakes instead of trying to deal with what's bothering them. And growing from it, they're sort of pushing it onto this other group that they then can challenge or put down. It's not a binary system where if they go up, I go down. It's a system which I even mention in the book. We can all be going up on the same elevator. We don't have to push someone down.
How long did it take you to write this?
Well, I write fairly quickly. My wife complains about it. I go sit at the computer now that I'm retired and I can work on my thoughts. And I also instruct my grandchildren and they sit around and they wait for me to talk about something. probably took me a, you know, few, several months, you know, to finish it.
Well, that's good. Being retired, you can have the thoughts and you don't have to like stop them to go in and see patients or teach people or whatever. You can continue that thought. Did you have any idea when you started where this was going to go? I guess I'm asking, was there an outline? Were these the topics you wanted to talk about, or was it pretty much you just sat and it came?
That's the way I sort of write. As it writes, I don't know if this is what other authors experience, but it sort of develops itself and it tells you what next to put into it and what next to write. And as you're writing it, it sort of flows. Then you may think of other things you want to insert. So you go back and you say, gee, I should have said this here or put this in here. And that's when I insert it.
What are you working on now? You mentioned the new book on aging, where we are with the healthcare system. What are you working on?
It's reflections on the changing face of medicine, but it's also on an ongoing struggle to tame and regulate physicians. Looking at the physician side, looking at it from the patient side, and complaining about what's happening with insurance, with healthcare. Much of it is I'm dismayed because it's not the way it was when I was in practice. And when I retired, patients said, you know, we're not going to find another doctor like you. And I said, I'm the old school. I'm a dinosaur. I'm the doctor that Dr. Kildare and Welby and
oh yes,
used to be. And those doctors you're not going to find so easily anymore. I have three children who are all physicians, two of whom are married to physicians. So there are a lot of doctors in the family, aside from a brother, a father, uncles, aunts, cousins. We're a very medically oriented family.
What's it like when you talk to members of the family that are still active and you're recently retired, but the stories that they tell, what they're going through now are, again, I keep looking, have we turned the corner? Are we aware of some of the problems that we have? Where are we now? Are we getting back to maybe some of what made you the successful doctor that you were?
Well, it's two things. One is, although I'm retired, I still get calls from patients and friends to advise them. They say they go to speak to their doctor, but their doctor never explains anything. Even when I was in practice, patients used to ask me, can you tell me what this other doctor told me? I couldn't understand them. I don't know what to do. And so I have to tell them what's going on and be honest with them. So time was not a matter to me. I'm not interested in making money from in practice or from writing. It's the satisfaction that you get. And so I would just do that. Today, I got a call from a daughter-in-law who's a physician giving me her complaints. Who should she see? What should she do about it? And then my kids every now and then. And that's it. That's nice. Although they're very successful physicians, they still call me and say, Dad, I have a patient like this. What do you think I should do? And so you never really retire completely.
Once a doctor, always a doctor. And that's the case with our guest on the program, Martin Finkelstein, a successful author. The books he's written have received excellent reviews. This one in particular, the new one, What You Should Have Learned on Earth by Martin S. Finkelstein. Got a couple minutes left in the program. You're working on any novels now? You are a great storyteller.
No, I've written the two novels. One was Adam's Creation, Eden at Fallspeak, and What You Should Have Learned on Earth, and two nonfiction, you know, Aging, Healthcare, and You, and this new book, which is The Ongoing Struggle to Tame and Regulate Physicians, Reflections on, you know, Changing Face of Medicine, what's happening in the past 50, 60 years.
Where did this interest come from in being an author and a storyteller? Is that something that goes back to your youth, or where did you develop that? Because you're such an effective communicator because you are able to break it down. It's relatable in a story form, and we can comprehend what you're talking about.
I don't know, but I do remember grandchildren used to say, Grandpa, tell me a story. I love your stories. I have one grandson who keeps recording everything I say because he said, these things I want to keep. And so he records the stories. My father used to tell stories and jokes, and I guess I inherited that from him.
Well, you're doing one better now. You've got the books out there, so they will last through generations to get the word out there of your thoughts on medicine and where we are with tolerance and diversity in our society. I mentioned Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Where do you recommend people go buy the book?
Online. We're getting a website going, but I think that's the main place where they would get them online. That's where I get my books online.
Yeah, and I say Amazon because they could use the money, and we, it's also it comes to mind as you're talking about that. If you got Barnes and Noble, if you got a neighborhood bookstore, stop it and ask. If they don't have it, they can get it. You can support the neighborhood bookstore at the same time. The book is What You Should Have Learned on Earth by Martin S. Finkelstein, Finkelstein, and the book is available, as we mentioned, all of the usual places. And if you're on Amazon, for example, click on the author's name, and you'll have information there on the other books as well. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much that we could talk about, and hopefully we can do this again. I'm looking forward to the next book and would love to have a chance to talk about that as well. Thank you for joining us on the program.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Rick. Really, good luck and good health.
Thank you, and hopefully we can do this again. Martin Finkelstein, our guest. The book is What You Should Have Learned on Earth, the book available wherever books are sold. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.